If you'd like to support this ministry, you'll find information at the end of this podcast. So now, this is the 8th in the series, and we're going to talk about the process that I step through, step by step, to get to these days now. I started the process in 2009, now it's 2018, and this is the process. So basically, we started in 2009, we were in a church, 250 people, and they got upset with each other, rumors going around about the pastor and his daughter going out to nightclubs and clubbing and him trying to cover it up, and other people trying to cover this up and that up, and it was just a big bun fight. And we said, look, let's forget about all this and let's just get on with seeking the Lord and looking after each other. But they wanted their pound of flesh. They walked in the flesh, and you can't get people out the flesh. It just was hard. So we went from 260 to 45 in 2.5 years. And by the time we got to 45, I said, this is not working. And I met with the oversight, and I sat down with them, and I said, listen, let's stop shooting each other. Let's call a truce. Let's be friends. And, you know, I said, look, we don't want to be part of all of this. If this is going to continue on, it's no good. We need to stop. And they couldn't. So we just said, okay. So we stepped out of the church. And I just thought, I've got to do something. I've got to do something to get my brothers and sisters help. And then two other sisters were having dinner with them, and they were talking about how that they're excited about the things of God and all of these things. And I could just see God speaking to me, saying, stop moaning and whinging about what's happened to everybody else and be the solution. Be the solution. So I said, okay. Because I didn't know how to be a solution. I tried to help them, but I didn't have enough stuff to help them. And I tried always to be the solution, but in my own strength and my limited understanding and whatever you could call it, I'd say, let's pray, and people would pray, but they got upset about things and all this stuff, and I didn't know how to fix all that up. So I just said to the Lord, okay, I understand. You don't want me to whinge anymore about the whole thing, but be the solution. And I said, Lord, I just don't know how to be the solution. And so I knew the only thing I was to do would be to pray, and God would give me the stuff. I just had a revelation that God would help me if I prayed. So I didn't pray for half an hour or an hour a day. I prayed for 5 hours every day. And after 3 months of praying for 5 hours every day, I just, everything just come clear. And I understood, this is the solution. So I started praying more and more, and I started feeling the presence of God. I started seeing healings and people's lives being fixed up. And after a year of that, I went back to the church with all of these healing testimonies under my belt. I had lots of healing testimonies, and they were down to like, I think it was like 12 or 15 people. And so they went from 250 to 45 by in the year I was away, went down to about 15 people or so. And I told them about all the testimonies and the healings and all the things that have happened to me because I sat down and prayed in tongues. And they just they were too banged up. They couldn't get up off the ground, and to even do that, they just couldn't handle all of the healing testimony. It was just like rubbing their faces in it, and because they talked about a move of God and all this stuff, but they just didn't want to be involved in the move of God. So you know, after 6 weeks, I went away, and then I went and prayed again for a little while, another 6 months or 7 months or something. Then I went back again, and they were worse. And after I lasted another maybe 6 weeks, and I said, I can't do this anymore with you guys. I'm going. See you later. And I just went. And I don't want to get into any of that anymore. I'm over the people hating each other. I just want to walk in the restoration of God, of a person's life through the Holy Spirit. I just want to walk in restoration life. I just want to be the answer through the Holy Spirit, not through my own intellect. So I just said to the Lord, let me help you. Let me work with you and being the answer to people's problems. I'm the delivery boy. That's all I am. I deliver the power that I get from God, and it transforms people's lives. I'm just that. That's what I do. So I teach other people to do the same thing, to get full of God, and then go out, lay hands on people, and then people's lives get changed. So basically, all I did was pray in tongues for the first 3 months. Then the presence of God started coming over me, and it was getting to be very unusual, because I'm not used to the presence of God continually over me, and I didn't know what to do. And I just kept going after the Lord, and I kept asking him questions, and he kept answering me. And I kept going out and laying hands on people, and I just worked my way through into a healing ministry and a deliverance ministry. And I never wanted to go after that. I wanted a healing ministry, but I didn't want a deliverance ministry. I never even thought about that. But you know, the presence of God was over me so much that when I ran around, I was around people. People started manifesting, and I had to deal with it. And you can't just walk away. So I had to deal with that, and I had to ask the Lord, how does this work? And he showed me personally. So I didn't get it from man, I got it from God. I got it from it just happened, and I just went back every time things happened, and I just asked the Lord, and he just gave me a briefing basically on what happened and how it worked. It was so funny. I thought it'd be great to be healing people and seeing them set free from all sickness and everything. So that's what I went after, and then I stepped in to deliverance ministry, healing people and getting them set free from the enemy. But then after that, I was walking in that, and that was great. But the Lord said, I've got something even greater for you. And I said, what's that? He said, my presence and my love. And I just said, okay. And I stepped into that after about 6 months of praying, and while I was walking, healing, praying for people and all this stuff. And I just stepped into that love of God, the love of the Father, and it enveloped me. And that was the greatest transformation that I ever received. And that's the greatest place that I love to dwell in, the presence of God, in his love. And now I'm not motivated by how wonderful I can pray for people and they get healed. I'm motivated by the love of God and the compassion, this compassion that I have for people, and to see them set free. It sustained me, and God taught me so much about the love of God and the power source that the love is. It is greater than the dunamis power. It's greater than anything else that you can imagine. It is the apex of all of God's operation, is the love of God. And you can operate everything from the love of God. You can operate from having authority and power. You can operate from a glory. But to operate from the love of God is the top shelf. It's the top place to operate from. And now that's what I pursue all the time, is the love of God. I don't pursue healing. I don't pursue, deliverance. I just pursue him. I just pursue God the Father. I just pursue God the Father and his Son. I just pursue being in his presence. And now I just love being in his presence. That's all I would love to do, is be in his presence. And I have to step out of that being lost in him to minister. And, it's an inconvenience, but it's an inconvenience worth having, because it's the love of God that helps me move forward in things of God, in everything that he has given me. I'm power, the power source that I have is the love of God. And you can't tell anybody about the love of God. They have to experience it, and they have to walk in it. And when they do, they know. You can't teach this. This is a transformation of the soul of the highest order. You know, there's this guy once. It was on a Sunday night. Donna and I are praying and worshiping, and Donna stops praying and she says, "The Lord just told me to tell you something." I said, "What?" She said, "Tomorrow the enemy's going to try and ambush you." And I went, "Really?" She said, "Yes, the Lord told me that the enemy's going to try and get you tomorrow. He's laid up an ambushment." I went, "Oh, okay." So Monday I'm doing my windows and my window washer in the main street. At about 10 o'clock a brother rings up and he says, "Tom," he says, "I've got a problem." I says, "Well, what's the problem?" He says, "My nephew has been playing around with Ouija boards and now he's all messed up. And he's come to me for help. And he doesn't go to church or anything, but he's just messed up." And I said, "That's okay. I'll be around in 20 minutes or so." And so I packed my washing gear up, my window washing gear up, and I just hopped on my motorbike and drove over there. And as I was riding over, the Lord reminded me of what Donna said, that the enemy is setting up a trap, an ambushment. And so I just started praying against it. I got over there and walked up the steps, and there's this young fellow. He's about 24, 25, and he was a big bloke. He was big. And I said, "Hello." I got introduced to him, and he looked really troubled. And I said, "So what's wrong?" He said, "I've been involved in Ouija boards at my friend's house where I'm living, and it's caused me trouble, and I've got something over me, and it's stirring me crazy, and it's making me angry and violent." And I went, I'm thinking to myself, "We don't want this guy to be violent here to me." Anyway, so I said, "Well, we'll fix it up. So I said, "You go and sit on the lounge, and we'll stand over here, and we'll pray, and all the stuff will leave you." Usually, I'm a hands-on guy. I just come here, I lay my hands on them, and start praying over them. But this one, I think it was wise to just step back about 8-9 feet and deliver him from his bad stuff, from his demons, from a distance. Anyway, so, you know, he just said, "I just want to punch somebody." And, well, he's not going to punch me. So anyway, you know, I've seen people manifest. They go berserk. But, you know, I usually try and stop that and bind the demon up, command it not to hurt the person. Anyway, so we just started worshiping, this brother and I, and the presence of God turned up, and I just started speaking deliverance over that guy from 8 or 9 feet away, and he got delivered. He got delivered of all of that stuff, and he says, "I feel different. I feel great." And I said, "Yes, there you go. Jesus has delivered you from the darkness that you've been doing and playing around with Ouija boards." He goes, "Oh, thank you. And I was happy too, because I didn't want him punching me senseless. Anyway, so I said, "Would you like to receive the Holy Spirit?" He says, "Yes." So we prayed over him, and he started speaking in tongues. And I'm laughing my head off. I'm thinking, this is so funny. Anyway, so then we took him, put him in the car, took him down to the river, and I baptized him. And then we came back, and I hopped on my motorbike, and I said, "There you go. Your life's going to change now. Everything's going to be good." He says, thank you. It was wonderful. And they left them praying. And he was excited about Jesus. He was born again. And I'm riding away, and I'm thinking, that's so funny. You know, the enemy was trying to load someone up with some bad stuff to hurt me. Whatever the enemy was going to do to me that day didn't work. And I got the enemy's tool of hurt filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized and praising Jesus. I think that was funny. That's so funny. That happens all the time. The tables are turned on those who oppose the righteous. It's so funny. No weapon formed against us will stand. So, that's the way it works. The enemy can't win if you walk in the power of God. If you clothe yourself in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, of Jesus, it's that easy. Jesus looks after you. So I had to learn to deal with people who were demon possessed. I was really good at getting people baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. I was really good at praying for people and getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit over them. They started speaking in tongues. I was really good at that. I spent 25 years doing that. You know, the pastor used to, when people would come to the church and they're becoming a problem and they didn't want to listen to anything. They were argumentative about the Bible and scriptures and all this stuff and everything. And he'd pass them on to me. He'd say, "Can you look after this?" I said, "Yep, no worries." I'd go and speak to them and the love of God would be over me, and I'd talk to them in gentleness, and then I'd have them within maybe 15, 20 minutes praying to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they would speak in tongues. And then all of a sudden their life would be changed. And then they would start seeking God, start praying in the Holy Spirit, start getting on fire, right? So that's what I did. So I was good at that. So after the, you know, it's been now eight and a half, 9 years nearly, and basically all I did was just keep praying. And as I prayed, all of my churchy theology, churchy ideas started dropping away, and they were replaced with true, authentic, biblical expressions of the Holy Spirit. So I wasn't a great worshipper. I didn't know much about worship, and I never went to Pentecostal smoke-pumping, flashing lights, 180 decibel music place. I saw that as being fleshy and useless. And people would say, "That's nice, they're going there, and at least they're hearing about Jesus." Well, that's about as best as I could come up with. Those people in those churches, they talk about God, they talk about revival, but mostly they're into building. They're into building more buildings to fill them up with more people, to tell them they're going to build more buildings so they can fill up with more people. And there's no great move of God there. Anyway, I just kept away from all the churches. I kept away from all the churches. I didn't want anything, any other new theology. I just wanted to go and get it from God. I wanted to go not to the river, halfway along the river, at the mouth of the river. I wanted to go directly to the source, where the river starts coming out of the ground, where the spring flows out, where it's the crystal clearest. You know, I didn't want to have my water that I was being fed by being poured into a bucket, then into a dirty old bucket or a half-clean bucket, and then a dirty old cup, and they're going to drink out of that. I wanted to put my mouth over the tap, okay, and I wanted to make sure that everything was clean and undefiled, and you know, it only takes a little bit to turn something dirty. It's drinkable. And it'll sustain your life, but it's not that nice. I just wanted to get to what we call the fountainhead. I want to get to the river of life, right? And the closest I could make it would be to sit down in the presence of God, pray in the Spirit of God, in the Holy Spirit, this language that God has given me. I understood all about speaking in tongues. Understood all of it being a revelational gift. It's an empowering gift. Speaking in tongues is a gift that will bring you straight. It'll turn bent things straight. It'll turn bent theology straight. It'll be an antivirus program to twisted theology. It'll straighten lies out or misconceptions. It'll straighten them out and shine a light on them and make them straight, so that you can have clear thinking about things. It will pull down strongholds, systems of thoughts, ideas that you've had that have kept you from moving further into the things of God. You know, it warfares against false ideas of God. It pulls down everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of Christ. You know, and it brings understanding of how to move into the things of God. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. He's a paraclete. He comes alongside of you and shows you how to do things. He assists you. That's what the work of the Holy Spirit is he assists you, and he knows what's happening. He knows what's happening up the road. He knows what's happening a week from now. And your prayers don't. So you pray in the Holy Spirit, and you can pray the solution to what's happening a week from now. And you can pray the solution into what has happened in the past to fix you up. How powerful is that? If you sit down and pray, your life from the past, mistakes, will get fixed up, and your future will be straightened up. That's pretty good. So I understood that. So I just started praying in tongues. I figured that was my best bet, and I was right. I read the Bible, I studied the Bible, and I studied speaking in tongues for years and years and years, and I knew that this was the right way to go, and it really did work. And through that praying in the Holy Spirit, God showed me other things that I never understood. Things like how to really, truly worship and get things done. How to really touch heaven. How to open up an open heaven. How to get prayers answered from heaven. How to warfare against darkness. How to warfare against situations. And how to help other people get their victories. How to help other people get what God has in store for them. How to get them out of the ditch and onto hard ground. That's what the Holy Spirit showed me. But through the 8 years, I had to grow myself in the things of God. And I just experienced things that I wasn't really sure of. And I was a very conservative Christian. I was not super charismatic or charismatic really at all. I was conservative by nature. I didn't like crazy things. I don't like unstable things. I don't like theatrics. I think theatrical stuff is not of God. It's just flesh. But you know, when you get joyful, you get full of God. It's not theatrical. It is authentic rejoicing, which is different to theatrical. Theatrical is people on stage pretending to be someone they're not. And the old saying in Pentecost land, fake it till you make it, that's rubbish. That is the biggest deception that a Christian can do. They spend all their life faking it because they never ever took the right road to make it. So all I did was just pray in tongues, read my Bible, listen to my Bible, headphones, meditate on the word. I got lost in the presence of God for a year. There was a time when I'd be praying in tongues and I'd spend a lot of time just staring into space. And Donna would say to me, "You okay?" I'd say, "Yep, yep." And God would be speaking to me. And I'd be doing the dishes and I'd just be just standing there, just staring into space. And God, I would be fully engaged in the presence of God. And the water would go cold, and an hour and a half ago later, I'm still standing there looking into space. And I just had the most wonderfulest time with Jesus. Now, I've never seen Jesus, I've never seen angels, but I've felt the presence of angels, and I know how they function. And I've felt Jesus, and I've felt the love of the Father, and I know who they are. And I know the difference between angels and the Lord. I know the difference between darkness, and darkness tries to emulate glory and the presence of God. I can tell the difference from fake glory or the presence of God. It's not. It doesn't feel like God. But there is a spiritual atmosphere, and because it's a spiritual atmosphere, it doesn't make it God. Yeah, so I walk into a house, Donna and I, and we can feel the oppressive nature inside that house. And we can walk into a house and there's no oppressive nature. Things feel light. And when we pray for people, we actually, by the power of prayer and what we have inside us and the authority we've been given by God, because we've been faithful and we've stepped through door after door and moving up higher and higher into the operation of the Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, authentically led by the Holy Spirit, He's given us more authority and more power. And what we do is we get the junky stuff off of people, the oppressive nature. We get the fear, we get all of the confusion. We pray over people and they go, "I don't feel confused anymore." And they say, that's God. They go, yes. And I say, you know, when I pray over them, they say, I feel lighter. I say, yes, because Jesus said he'd come to take those burdens off you. And those burdens were not put on you by God. They'll put on you by the enemy. And people will say, you know, since you prayed for me, the voice has stopped. I don't get all this static and this chatter. And I say, yes, if you keep praying in tongues, that static and that chatter will go away, and it'll only come every now and then. You'll just pray a bit and it'll go. And you'll live in a place where you have peace. Where you have peace from noisy neighbors. Peace from the chatter and the static of the enemy just rattling away in your head stuff. And, you know, it's people feel like when we pray for them and we get them praying, it's like they had a radio station that sort of kept swaying back and forth between two radio stations, a bit of static here and there, and they were swinging back and forth. And they said, now they seem to be locked in, and it's clear, and there's no crackling, there's no static on either side, it's just clear. Now, those who are younger, who only know about digital technology, we had analog. And we had FM and AM radios, and you had to really work hard to keep. Sometimes you'd have to work hard to keep a radio station on frequency, because it would drift a bit here or there to the left or right. Okay, so, but it was like that. And now they have clarity. Now they have clear thinking. Now they can hear God speaking to them. Then it's not like being in a room with 12 people trying to tell you something. And there's confusion, there's lots and lots of chatter, and it's hard to hear God through all that chatter. But now it's peace and quiet, and you can hear God, and it's just clean. And they feel light, because all that weight has left them, and they don't are not bogged down, not burdensome. There's no more vexation, because, you know, the Bible talks about being vexed of a spirit. Well, vexation is when a spirit comes to you and starts troubling you. You're not getting sick. You're not going and doing bad things. You're just getting harassed, okay, by the spiritual enemy. And when you pray in tongues and when you start understanding the spiritual realm, and you start declaring over yourself darkness to leave, it leaves. Now, in the beginning, you can start yelling and ranting and raving and saying, darkness, I bind you up. I command you to leave my life. I want peace and joy and happiness. And it just, nothing happens. And you can do it and do it. Nothing happens. Or it might go and then come back real quick. But if you start praying in tongues and you start building yourself up on your most holy faith, keeping yourself in the love of God, then you just say something and things happen. And the more you move up, the quicker things happen, and the more extensive and the more long-term and complete things happen. It's about being sanctified. It's about walking in the presence of God. Okay, so every single person, from the person who greets people at the door, who cleans the toilets, who mows the yard, and trims all the trees, to the person that's on stage, to the person who's, you know, interceding, to the person who's got a healing ministry, all have to go through the same channel. They all have to go to God and get cleaned up, okay? And the more you're at the front line, the more you have to be cleaned up. The more you're working at the coalface, the more you have to be cleaned up, because it's hard work out there. That you can't be unholy. You have to walk in sanctification. And you know, the Lord wants everybody to be holy. Okay, but the closer you are at the pointy end, the more God uses you, the more the enemy fights back at you, then the more you have to be cleaned up and stay cleaned up. And that's basically, it's that simple. So, you know, I could talk about the glory of God. There's so many different flavors to the glory of God. You know, there's a wonderful scripture in Psalms, and David wrote, it was Psalm 16 or 15, I can't remember now, and it says, in the presence of God is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now, if you study that out, and you look at all of the Hebrew and that, and just think about it, in the presence of God is fullness of joy. Well, the Bible says the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but it's in righteousness, peace, and joy. So righteousness is right standing, doing the right thing, right? And if you do the right thing, the kingdom of God will just flood in. It's like I spoke before. If you take water, right, and you take it out of a bottle, the first thing that floods into it is air, by default. And if you take darkness out of your life, the first thing that floods in, by default, is God, is the kingdom of God, okay, in all its different aspects. So whatever part gets eradicated in your life of darkness, God floods into that part. And he takes residence in that part, and you have fellowship in that part. You have freedom and peace, and you have joy, right? And you have ability. So as you eradicate the darkness out of your life in different sections of your life, God floods into that place. And there's another thing that the way we teach people to work is we teach people to work on the overflow. Now the Lord showed me this. He said, "This is a law that he has. It's all about how the creation worked, and he's shown me about overflow. Now, a person can pray and fast, seek God for a couple of days, get full of God, go and minister, and then when they've ministered, they feel a bit flat. Then they've got to go and pray and fast for a couple of days before they minister, and then they minister and God turns up and then they're flat, right? So it's like a balloon. You fill it up and it's under pressure, it comes out, and when all the air's out, it's flat. But I don't work like that. I teach Christians to walk in their overflow. And so this is how the overflow works. If you get a cup and you fill it up, right, and you drink it, you've only got a third of a cup left, or half a cup. Then you've got to go and fill it up. But what if you've got a cup that's full, right? And from that fullness, as you pray, you minister to people from your overflow. So as a balloon, there's only a finite amount of energy or air inside that balloon. When it's gone, it has to be refilled. So could you imagine a tap, right? When you turn it on, it's endless. It's endless. Okay? It's coming from a reservoir that is so big that it would take your lifetime to empty it out. Okay? So what I do is I use that fullness that I walk in to draw down from heaven that overflow continually so that I operate in the overflow. So that when I stop ministering after an hour, 2 or 3 hours, I'm still full. So that fullness acts as a catalyst to draw down from heaven what I need to minister in. So what I do is I pray, I get full of God, and I stay full of God. And because I'm full of God all the time, when I lift my hands and I worship, the presence of God that comes into the room and I start ministering from doesn't come from me. It comes from heaven. It comes from the overflow. Okay? So like a pipe, where the tap's attached to the pipe's always full. And the pipe is always replenished by the reservoir of water in the big dam that comes and fills the pipe. Okay? So the pipe is never empty, and the pipe is always full. But the pipe is being supplied by the great dam up the road, the great dam of water. Okay, so what I do is I stay full, and when I minister when the Lord turns up. So it's a mechanism. If you're full of God, then when you lift your hands up, God turns up quick. If you're not full of God, you have to pray, fast, and then get things out the way, and then God turns up, you minister, and then out of that ministry, it finishes. You just got to go back and fill yourself up. But what I do is I stay full of God. I get everything out the way. And when I step into ministry, everything flows, but it doesn't come from me. It comes from heaven. And as it, because what I do is because of what I've got, because I've I am full. I can lift my hands and the glory of God fills up. You know, I stand in the room and we start praying and 10 seconds. You know, if 30 seconds, if I started worshiping God and 30 seconds went by and I couldn't feel anything, God, stop. I said, hang on, we need to stop. What's going on? What's happening here? You know, is the atmosphere blocking something? Have we got some sort of closed heaven here? You know, we need to warfare against some atmosphere here or something. Or what is it, Holy Spirit? Because we're so used to, within 30 seconds, I mean, the presence of God is there. It's all over me. Okay? So, I'm used to that now. You know, so when I start ministering, I'm just me. And I'm full of God. And when I walk around and I go to a bunch of Christians, I'm talking to them, all of a sudden I feel a surge happen inside me and I go, okay, we need to minister. Come here, you. And I just pray for that person or whatever. Whatever happens, I can feel it. It just ramps up. And that is coming. It's coming from the overflow. And that overflow, I can minister all day, all night, all day, as long as my physical body can stand up, I can minister and I don't get empty and the power doesn't diminish exponentially. It stays full. Okay, and when I stop after half an hour, 3 hours of ministering to people, right, I'm still full. I'm still full of God. And I live in that fullness place. And if I ever get not full, all I have to do is just fast and pray and I'm full and I'm there full. You know, I've never, praise the Lord, I've never had to really do that. Just stay full because I'm always monitoring myself. Every day I'm monitoring myself. How am I in the Lord? Am I full? How am I? Am I in the right place? Am I doing the right thing? You know, whatever, I'm always monitoring. Now, when it comes to me waking up in the morning, I wake up in the presence of God and I go to sleep in the presence of God. You know, I have a different life than I had 9 years ago. I was just a normal Christian in a church doing things and, you know, there was anointing that moved over me in bits and pieces, but not now. This is like full on. I'm like fully plugged in and it's like the light's always on. I'm ready anywhere we go. I'm ready to minister. I don't have to go away and walk up and down the street and praise the Lord and get into the zone or get into the anointing. I can minister anywhere, any place, any time. I can just lift. I'm on, and that to me is, that's nice. I love that. I like to be able to do. I don't have. It's taken away the burden of me having to run off and get full of God before I can minister. You know, when we got people and they say, well, we got to have a whole lot of music and 3 hours of worship and then we'll start ministering a healing thing. I said, no, don't bother about that. I said, we don't need any music. We don't need any worship time for an hour, right? I said, let's just get into it now. And they're not used to just going from a standing start. It's not that I'm great in any way. It's just that I just positioned myself in under an open heaven continually. I walk in that place under an open heaven. Now, if I start lifting my hands up and nothing happens, I go, I know what's happening. There's the atmosphere is bad and it needs to be addressed. So we start praying over the atmosphere and we smash it. And then all of a sudden, Kingdom of God just floods in. And that's because we walk from in the overflow. And we've got intel from God through the Holy Spirit continually. So when I go up to people, I speak to them all the time, and I say to them, "Oh, hi." I talk to them and I tell them things about themselves, and they go, "How do you know that?" And I say, "Oh, it's God." And then I tell them another thing, and they say, "That's amazing. How did you know that stuff?" Or, "I was just thinking about that just 5 minutes ago, and now you're talking to me." Or, "That's been my problem." You know, for the past 3 months, I've been dwelling on that thing, and you just said it. I say, well, must be God, you know, and they get a clue, and they know that God's working. You know, sometimes it's so in your face, the presence of God, that people just start crying, and you don't even say anything, because the atmosphere has changed so much, and they can feel released from that burden on them, or automatically, you don't even have to say anything to them. You just get just stay full of God, and it always works. Well, you walk from your overflow, but you have to get to a place where you have, where you are full of God. That might take 3, 6 months, a year, but it's worth the effort. Once you're full, right, you stay in that place, you'll be so useful to the kingdom of God. You'll be used so much to heal, help, and set free your brothers and sisters who you dearly love. You know, if you truly loved your brothers and sisters, what you would think of is laying your life down before the Lord so that you can be an instrument of righteousness to get them set free. That would be serving your brothers, wouldn't it? Instead of serving yourself. That would be the best Christian ever, hey? A person who went to God, got the stuff, and then distributed it by the counsel of the Holy Spirit to each and every Christian. Wouldn't that be great if everybody was like that? You know, all the Lord asked me to do was to demonstrate the anointing and to teach the anointing. That's my job, okay, is to demonstrate the anointing, what God has done in me, and how you can have this. That's my job. My job is to get baptized, people baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and get them set free and on the road to recovery and in a place where they can be an effective member of the body of Christ, okay, in a spiritual way. Now, there's natural things we have to do, mowing the yard. You know, that doesn't take any spiritual gifts to mow the yard. Greeting people at the door, that takes wisdom and maybe discerning of spirits and maybe words of knowledge. When people come, God shows. You know, when I walk down the street, walk down the shopping center, I'm looking at everybody, and God gives me understanding of people. I just look at them, I look in their face, and I know who they are. I know about them. And there's people who are walking in great darkness, and I know about them. They don't look dark. They don't have all these tattoos and everything all over them. They're nice, clean people, but I can see this one here is walking in darkness. This one here is a nice person, and they've got a desire to know God. And they look at me and they smile, right? Some people, they look at me and they turn away because they don't know what they're looking at. They're looking at someone full of God, someone who's a light on a hill, someone who's got a candle that's burning bright, and they feel bad in the presence of God. Some people are drawn, and they come up to me and they smile at me, and I just say, "Hi, how are you going?" And they look at me, and they're smiling, and I say, "I'm a Christian and Jesus loves you." And their face, they go, "This is amazing." That's it, because God sets it all up. I can't remember the last time I had anybody say, "Oh, get out, go away, who are you?" They just connect. So God's doing all the connecting for me. He's doing all of my appointments. And when I go to people, all I do is just tell them who I am. And then they straight away, God connects in, and they've got a problem. They've been seeking. And God just tells them, this is the answer to your problem, this moment. And they step into it. And I just get divine appointments all the time, over and over again. It's wonderful. Anyway, we'll just leave it there. So if you'd like to help us out at Clear Vision Revival, just go to the bottom of the page and click on support. It'd be greatly appreciated.